Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Freedom Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm your host, Lindsay Sutherland, your partner in business growth and freedom living. Yesterday, we talked about building systems that allow your business to run without you. The big mindset shift was this: don't build your business around yourself. Build it from the beginning so others can step in. If you missed it, go back and listen. It's the foundation of creating a freedom business. But today, we're tackling the next big challenge. Once you build the systems, how do you get your team to actually use them? Because let's be honest, employees don't like change, ever. Maybe 1% do, okay? But those are usually your future leaders anyway. The majority don't. They resist it, and as the CEO, it's your job to lead them through it, and it can feel so frustrating. Here's the reality of change. Most entrepreneurs think the hardest part of implementing systems is building them. But it's not. The hardest part is getting your team on board. You're super excited about it, and you're really ready to launch. You're seeing the future vision. You're moving your business in a new direction. Everything feels so positive. The momentum is totally behind you. And then it just falls flat when you share it with your team. Employees just don't think like CEOs, do they? They're not wired to think about scalability, profitability, or your long-term freedom. They think about what's affecting them today, their comfort zone, their paycheck, their habits. And that's why change is tough. Even when your new systems make life easier in the long run for everyone, your team won't automatically jump on board. Change feels like disruption. It feels like uncertainty. And most people will fight it, even when it's good for them. And this is why it's so important to have a plan for implementation, because you don't want to lose your best team members just because of their uncomfortability with change. As silly as that sounds, I've seen it happen where they're uncomfortable with the changes implemented in the business, so they quit and go find another job, which ultimately is still change, but they don't see it that way. So we definitely want to make sure we wrap our arms around them. We help them see the vision. And today's episode is going to walk you through how to do that. Let me give you a real life example from my own experience. Back in my days managing a business development center in the car business, I had a team of 6 people. This was a small middle management job, nothing too serious. And also the job that this team did was so basic. It wasn't even a high sales pressure job or anything like that. Their job was to answer incoming calls for the service department and make outbound calls, just reminding customers, hey, you're due for service. When did you want to get back in? Very low key. Now, I knew each person could easily generate 100 appointments, or what we called shows, per month from outbound calls. How did I know? Because I'd already proven the system at other dealerships, and I knew the numbers worked. But my team, they were consistently making about 30 calls a day, womp womp, and I tried everything. Contests, rewards, bonuses. I even hired experienced appointment setters who blew their numbers out of the water just to show them what was possible. Instead of being inspired, they just made excuses. Oh, she can do because of XYZ, but I can't. And everybody stayed stuck. Finally, I brought out the stick instead of the carrot. I just knew it was possible. I instituted what was called MAP, Minimal Acceptable Performance. The rule was simple: 75 appointments per month minimum. Now, when I say that, what that is from their outbound call efforts, okay? So they were given commission based on their outbound call efforts, and then incoming calls was just part of their basic hourly wage. Everybody got a good hourly wage. If they hit below 75 appointments at the end of the month, I would deduct $50 from their commission check. $50 was not a lot. These team members were making anywhere between $3,000 to $4,000 a month, which was big money back in those days, especially for an entry-level position. Now, if they were to hit between 75 to 85 shows, they kept their pay. There was no docking of the $50. And then there was a bonus. If they made over 85, they would earn a bonus, and another bonus if they hit over 100. They got a bigger bonus. So there was still here a carrot at play, okay? Now, you would think that the bonus would get them excited, right? Nope. I mean, it was paying them more than they'd ever made before. But every single one of them panicked about losing $50. They were not motivated by the upside. They were terrified of the downside. So I didn't want to lose anybody because I believed in my team. I really knew they could do it. And I truly saw myself as the bottleneck. It was my job as the leader to get them up to what was possible. So I gave them a 90-day grace period. For 90 days, they could earn the bonus without losing the penalty. But after 90 days, minimal acceptable performance was taking over, and they better figure out how to get a minimum of 75 shows every month from their outbound calls. And guess what? Within 30 days, every single one of them hit the minimal acceptable performance. Why? Because the fear of loss outweighed the hope of the gain. And that's when it hit me. This is the fundamental difference between how CEOs and leaders think and how general W-2 employees think. As a CEO, you are driven by growth, vision, and possibility. But employees are often driven by avoiding loss and protecting what they know, that stability. So how do you take this reality and actually get your team to adopt your new systems? We're going to go over three things you need to do. Number one, lead with the why. Your team won't care about the automation, the documentation, or the SOPs. They care about what it means to them. So you've got to connect the dots. Show them how the system makes their job easier, reduces mistakes, and creates more stability. For example, instead of saying, we're switching to a digital calendar, say, this is going to make sure no appointments fall through the cracks and you won't have to deal with those double bookings anymore and the stress that comes with it, right? Show them the pain point that you're protecting and avoiding and get them to buy into your new processes. Always tie it back to how it helps them, not just the business. Number two, set the expectation of a habit shift. So this is huge. When you roll out a new system, don't expect perfection overnight. Tell your team, this is a new habit we're building. I don't expect you to master it tomorrow, but I do expect you to lean in and give it your best effort. It's going to take us about 90 to 120 days for this to feel natural. When you set the expectation up front, you take the pressure off of instant success and normalize the adjustment period. This keeps your team from shutting down and gives them the space to grow into the new habit. One thing I also would like to interject here is to say, I strongly encourage you to set expectations that are verbal and possibly written depending on how your business is structured. Simply saying, we have a goal for on this date, 90 days from now, to have this system fully implemented. I need everybody marching in the same direction by this date. I understand there's going to be some new learning curves. We're going to make some mistakes along the way. However, by this point in time, 90 days from now, I expect things are running smoothly with our new system. And also be open to hearing feedback. I think people like to share. If the system is failing in some way, shape, or form, it is a new system. Invite them to tell you, hey, there's a gap here, and be clear with your feedback request. In other words, I'm not interested in hearing complaints about how it's different or this, that, or the other. What I am looking for is constructive feedback. If you see a way this could be done that's more effective and time-saving, I'd be interested in hearing what you have to say. Solicit your feedback, seeking clarity and focused on potential change that benefits the business or the team. That way, you're not just inundated with a bunch of complainers. But the good news about clarifying the deadline and clarifying what your expectations are through this process, you can manage your team better. And it helps you manage your own emotions because when you're boots on the ground watching your team do this, it's easy to get frustrated and say, oh, this is the new system. Why isn't anyone doing it? What I'm saying is instead, keep your cool. Know that things are going to take some time, but you have now laid the foundation for managing them, which leads me to step number three, holding them accountable. Change without accountability doesn't stick. So just like my minimal acceptable performance story, your team needs a framework that reinforces the new system. That might be a weekly review, maybe monthly review, a KPI dashboard, or performance standard. The point is, don't just roll out the system and hope they use it, or worse, expect them to just use it. You must inspect what you expect, follow up, track the progress, and celebrate the wins along the way, because accountability plus time equals transformation. And when you have clearly set that expectation up, now you have something to manage it by. Just like in my case with the minimal acceptable performance, it was very clear, 75 appointments. Maybe you can think of something like that that will be a tangible number your team can work towards. All right, here's the mindset shift I want to leave you with. Employees don't think like you, and you don't want them to. That's okay. You're the CEO. Your job is to think big picture, create systems, and lead. Their job is to follow the systems and help you build. So stop waiting for the perfect diamond in the rough employee who magically thinks like you, builds systems. That person, if you found that person, it's a strong guarantee that they will most likely become your competition in the future, because they're going to see, I could do this myself. That little leap between I need a job and I can do this myself is not very far when you have somebody who thinks like a CEO. Build systems that a normal person can follow. Seriously, ask yourself, can a 12-year-old come in here and do this part of this job? If the answer is no, then your system isn't simple enough. And then lead your team through the change with clarity, patience, and accountability. That's how you create a business that not only runs without you, but runs with a team that's fully bought in. If you're ready to start simplifying your systems, don't forget, we have a free 7-day business makeover video series waiting for you at bizinaboxsolutions.com. Take a look for that in the link below. It will walk you through the exact steps to start streamlining your operations and creating freedom in your business. And if you want to take it further and you just want to have somebody else help you with this process, if you're too busy and overwhelmed, start by booking a complimentary consultation. In our first conversation, I can help you pinpoint the areas of your business through the bottleneck assessment that will automatically show us where we need to focus in your business, and we can put together a solution. Remember, guys, this is a journey. Change is hard, but it's worth it. You can build a business that runs without you, but only if you lead the way. And tune in tomorrow as we dive into how to navigate making changes in your business while keeping operations going, so you don't burn out. All right, my friends, thanks for tuning in. Until next time, bye for now.